Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. How much walking or even running have you done today? Well, I've done quite a bit of walking. I've just run down to reception and run back like my life depended on me. But do you get regular exercise? If so, do you enjoy it or do you find it a bit of a chore? My second guest tonight is Tahir Pavas, who's known as Taz, who's the engagement manager for the Canal and River Trust in the West Midlands. Now, Taz is passionate about getting people to become more active and involved in physical activity, and he joins me in the studio now. Good evening, Taz.
Good evening, Clive.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming in to see me. For anybody who's lived in another universe, tell me about the Canal and River Trust.
Well, the Canal and River Trust are a charity that look after 2,000 miles of waterways in England and Wales. So that's a lot of waterways, a lot of towpaths, a lot of vegetation, but it's an amazing, amazing place. Once you get to know the canals, you'll find that you can explore them and you'll fall in love with them. And that's what I'm here to talk about today.
Tell me about your role then within the Canal and River Trust. You're the engagement manager in the West Midlands, so put some meat on those bones. Expand on that for me.
So I work in the urban areas in the West Midlands to try and get communities that are in and around the canals out on the canals, on the towpaths and even on the water to do activities. So there's many, many people. You know, you can say there's a million people out in Birmingham, you'd say, that a big percentage of them have never stepped on the towpath, never been on the canal. And now I'm here to change that and try and get people on the canals. Because canals are an important part of our history here in the Black Country and the West Midlands. And we need to celebrate this. And we need to get people out enjoying and making them aware that that space is for them as well.
And of course, they say quite rightly, we have more canals than Venice.
That's correct. I was told this the other day. 56 kilometres of canals in Birmingham, 48 in Venice. So we actually have more in distance as well.
The thing is, though, I suppose one of the challenges that you faced is the fact that we've been locked down for so long and people, I think, have lost a lot of confidence in going out. How are you starting to get this message across to engage people to come out, even just to walk the dog down the canal, for example?
Well, we know that during the lockdown, the increase in the towpath numbers that, you know, we've got data to show, it increased by 400%. So people did find the canals, they did find their green and blue spaces. And the pandemic, unfortunately, was the reason why they found it. But we're coming out of the pandemic. We want to keep the momentum. We want to get those numbers even higher. And we want people to realise that they shouldn't wait for things like that to happen to find these little green and blue spaces to escape for their well-being, that they're always there for them. And that's why I'm here talking about well-being activities on the canals.
How do you go about measuring footfall on the canals?
Well, there's some very, very clever technology these days. There's cameras that can differentiate between a dog walker, a cyclist, a runner, or just a general person, you know, passing by, sitting and feeding the ducks. So there is technology, and in areas like Birmingham City Centre and some of the busiest spots around the Midlands, you have special cameras that give us that information so we can use that.
Tell me about your background then, Taz, and why you felt the need to change your lifestyle.
Well, my background was pharmaceuticals. I studied in university here in Wolverhampton, did a master's, and then went on to work in the pharmaceutical industry for 10 years. I was predominantly focusing on cardiovascular medicine, and obesity and diabetes were really high. And I was promoting medicines for people that had those conditions. And over the 10 years, I myself turned into a sedentary person. I was in and out of my car, I was in and a surgery, talking to a GP, then in the afternoon in a hospital, talking to a consultant about these conditions. But I wasn't being active myself. All I was driving, eating junk food when I had time to eat. Also, there was an element of hospitality involved with the role. So, you know, evenings out meant I put on a lot of weight and I was inactive. So, you know, 10 years into the role, had an opportunity to try something different and to try and change my career as well. And I went for something more active to help me. I was reaching the ripe old age of 40 and
Look a day over 27.
Thank you, Clive. Well, unfortunately, the doctor gave me a little scare saying, you are type 2 diabetic now, a borderline, and you need to change something. You know, you're overweight, you've got heart disease in the family, you need to do something. So that gave me the scare, that gave me something that, gave me the impetus to get out and do something different, a positive change. And I went out and I found something that was a very active role and something that would involve being outdoors as well, because I had the love of walking. I fell in love with walking early on, which helped me lose weight. And the canals were my saviour. They're the ones that, you know, got me out on the towpath doing the activity.
Now, my sources tell me that you've obviously undergone a lot of activities, including football and squash. How do you think you've personally benefited? You've talked about losing the weight, certainly. What other ways have you benefited?
So with sport, with any sport, there's a camaraderie, there's team spirit, and there's always that element where you know you're going to go and meet friends. So when you're going to do an activity like football or a one-to-one session on squash, you're going to meet a buddy and you're going to have a chat. It's more about that. It's more about catching up with people and talking and socialising than the physical aspect. The social aspects are massive. And unfortunately, I was going through some difficult times in my life and I needed a social element. And that's what, you know, football, seeing your mates on a Tuesday night, you know, over at the goals or the, you know, any of the football places that you have regularly here. That was great. That was, my escape as well from busy work life and stresses as well.
So how would you say then your life has changed since you've become more active?
Well, I've had a massive change in my life. I feel more positive in my day-to-day life. I feel that I can tackle things better. My well-being is improved. Massively improved. And that's because when you're doing any physical activity, you're releasing those positive hormones, those happy hormones, the endorphins that will help you, you know, overcome issues like depression, anxiety. And that's what's really helped me, because I was going through things like that, yes.
I mean, I've said on this program several times before, I suffer from depression. I think I've probably had it most of my life, but not really realised it. Until when I lost my mum back in 2005, and that was really quite a significant catalyst. And it's something that I live with. I'm not medicating for it at the moment, that's fine, but my good days far outweigh the bad days. But my sort of, I don't know, saving grace is if I'm having, you know, a bit of a bad day, or I think I might be perpetuating into a bad day, because I live in the country, I go out and do exactly what you just said. I go walking, I literally smell the flowers, if you like, and enjoy the fresh air and try and, you know, walk at a reasonable pace to get my heart rate up and what have you. And it's right, it does release those endorphins and you do feel a lot better afterwards.
That's right. And like you mentioned, being outdoors, you can do what you want. You can use it for a health walk. You can use it for a mindfulness walk. You can use it just to go out and sit and watch and notice people and all the five ways to well-being. You know, you can put them into practice on that walk or on that, you know, activity on the canal. And when you're on the canal, you mentioned the smells and the sound. So all your senses are triggered. And, you know, it's amazing. You can have a sensory experience by just popping off a busy road and finding an entrance into a canal, and suddenly you're in this magical world where everything, you forget about everything because you're at peace. You know, you're out on the canals and your well-being's improved. Yeah.
I mean, years ago, I used to live in Kings Norton, and I used to walk from the canal there all the way down to Alf Church and back. It's a bit of a hill going back, but, it was, you know, very, very lovely thing to do. Now, how can the Canal and River Trust then engage with people to get us out being more active, and what sort of activities do you offer?
So for me, in being in the urban area, the manager for the urban areas, I really need to kind of engage with my communities. So I get out, I go to communities, I go to community centres, I go to faith centres, I go to anywhere where people gather really, and I ask what they would like to see, you know. So I devise a program that they want, so it's working with people to come up with something. Because if you put a poster up saying, come and join me in a park or on the canal somewhere, you don't know those people, you don't know who's going to turn up. If you can already engage with people and you know they ask for a bell boating session, or they ask for a walking group, then you can put that on and deliver that for them. So my role is to work with organisations to find out what's required, what the community would like, and then set that up and make it a fun experience. People want to come. They're a bit reluctant to come out and try something new. So if they've had a negative response, negative reasons for being there, that's not good. So I give them positive reasons. You know, we go out, we explore, we have fun. We may have a tea and coffee and cake en route. You know, that kind of really helps with the social side of things. And always, you know, try to get that call to action is to get people to come back, either to come back and continue, try another activity, or like what the Canaan River Trust are trying to get is volunteers. So would they like to volunteer on their stretch of canal and help look after? Because 2,000 miles is a lot for us to look after.
I'll
so
say
we
is.
Need the help.
But again, you see, you were saying that you go to, you know, faith groups and community centres and things. Because you're there in front of people, you're then able to sell the benefits to people rather than them just looking at a static poster. And I mean, how many people, you know, if you go out and about in the town centre, wherever, and you see posters, we just walk past them. We invariably just look at and think, oh, yeah, it's that. And people carry on. But I think it's important for you, as you say, to get out and you know, make the effort to engage with people and they with you as well.
That's right. I practice what I preach. So I go out and I do the activity and I've been there and I've done it and I bought the T-shirt. So I know how difficult it is. And when you can relate to people because you've been in that position, you know how difficult it was for you to take that first step to go out to this group that you don't know anyone there, you know. And that's how I make people feel comfortable because, you know, I've been through it, like I said. And when you're there, when you're meeting people, you know, you quickly put people at ease. You know, you've got to have the soft skills, and that comes naturally to some people, and maybe it doesn't to others. But for me, I'm easygoing. I get on with everyone. You know, I can quickly make friends. I quickly put people in a comfortable position, and you know, feel like they're valued.
Give me your top five activities then, the kind of things that you're doing. I mean, I know your list is extensive, but let's drill down to your top five.
Well, well-being now is so important, and we've devised a program of activities called the Let's Activities. So with Let's, after the word Let's, you can put anything, a physical activity that you could do safely on a towpath or on the water. So, for example, Let's Walk. The number one basic thing that's getting people onto a towpath on the canal is a walking group. So we Let's Walk. Then you've got Let's Cycle. So if you want to go out and explore a little bit more and go a bit further, then you've got the bike, and we have got opportunities for people to come and join us for that. Then there's water activities. So we're quite unique. We've got water. We've got plenty of water in the canals. So we've got Let's Kayak, Let's Bell Boat, and Let's Paddleboard. So there's five already there. But there's also the softer side. So you don't need to do physical activity. You can come onto the canal and do Let's Paint. You know, find a lovely spot and do some art. Let's Create, Let's Move, Let's Zumba, Let's Dance. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever you want to do that we could put on safely, we can help set that up.
And as you say, I mean, those sound superb activities, and indeed, they're really good for people's mental health.
Absolutely.
Because that is, you know, quite a challenging thing in life for people at the moment. Now, you were a run activator with Sport Birmingham. What was that all about?
So when I said to you I was looking to change career I was overweight myself, I made a positive change. I started walking, and after I walked around my local canal, the Soho Loop in Winston Green, I quickly realised that I want to explore further. And walking was a bit slow. I couldn't get around everywhere. So I started jogging from bench to bench or tree to tree, and that helped me lose weight, and that helped me explore the canals further. So when I did lose weight, and my friends said, why don't you look for work involved in this type of activity? So I applied for a run activator position at the time with the Birmingham Wellbeing Service, and then later on that was we moved over to Sport Birmingham, and it was a Sport England funded project called Run Birmingham, And it was to get people, new people, into running, mm-hmm. new faces into running, and working with minority ethnic groups as well to get them into activities. Because there are benefits to walking and running for everyone, and not just of a particular age, a particular ethnicity. It's for everyone. And it doesn't involve any gym memberships. It doesn't involve any, you know, any fancy equipment. All you need is a good pair of running shoes and that towpath or that park or that whatever you want to use mm. to go out and do it. So when I applied for a run activator position, I was given a 3-month trial, and just to see if it's for me or and whether they thought I was suitable for the role. And within the first 3 months, it was absolutely brilliant. I got a group of Muslim ladies out doing a couch to 5K over the summer. And it was July we started, and by, you know, start of school term, they were from zero running 5K along the canal. And that was all done through 3 weekly sessions as my role as a run activator, meeting them where they were at. So meeting them at a school gate or where they drop their children off, and then come and walk with me to the park where we've got a nice path, flat and suitable for beginners running. And I taught them the basics of running, you know, breathing techniques, posture, and controlling your rate, because the main thing about running is it's still a social activity. So to encourage them to be able to speak, that means they're breathing well, they're controlling their lungs and heart at the right levels. So it made it a fun activity. And that's how, you know, I got into running and how my role at the Run Activator started. And then after 3 months, I applied for a full-time 2-year position as a Run Activator for the Sport Birmingham position. And I was successful in an interview, and I loved that. You know, I actually found something, my calling, you know, and I really felt that I was helping people take their first steps, helping them, you know, with something that they people need the help for, you know. So I was there. It was, I mean, pharmaceutical sales, don't get me wrong, it's paid well, you know, it was good, but I get much more reward looking at somebody I've helped take their first step, or someone who's lost weight, or someone who's run their 5K. And like my friends now, on Sunday, we'll be running marathons at Manchester. I'm so proud to see their journeys develop from zero to running 42 kilometres at a marathon as well.
Sure. Going back to the Muslim women that you helped, I mean, how receptive were they to doing this? I mean, did they buy into it, or were they hesitant? You know, how did that go?
So it's very hesitant. You know, you've got to be culturally sensitive as well. Mm. You know, I'm a male, and the females, there are, you know, sensitivity there as well. So, you know, being a trusted person, you know, I reached out to my local area first, where I knew the ladies. Maybe they knew my parents. Maybe they knew my family. Maybe they knew me from the school work. So it was me as a trusted, what I'd say, a son of the community that helped me get that insight into that group and the respect from the group. So that then any barriers that they had, we'd overcome them immediately, because I was one of their own. You know, I was a lad from the community. Everyone knew me, and that's really how it all started. Mm-hmm. And I've then used that, you know, little nuggets of how you can get into a group or into a community, find the common grounds, find the links, and go in. And you have to work at it. You can't just turn up as a outsider and expect to get respect from a group of people that they don't know you. But if you work with them and you do the activities with them, so I run with people, I have my whistle and I also run. So I'm not like a typical coach that stands on the sides and shouts orders at you.
No.
I make it fun and I take part, and that's what they
and
like.
And that's it. And that's the key word there, isn't it? Fun. It has to be fun. Otherwise, you know, you might as well, you know, pack up and go home sort of thing. Now, you were talking about running marathons. You've been involved with fundraising by running the Birmingham Half Marathon. What other fundraising activities are you involved with? Are you doing any more running?
Yeah, so running is... I've created a running group, you can call, on a Sunday morning at Edgbaston Reservoir, you know, and we also have a group name, which is Team Delicate Flowers. So I'm going to give a shout out to them.
Brilliant.
Because some of them will be running on Sunday. But Team Delicate Flowers came about because we always had the excuses coming through. Oh, I can't run today because I've got a dodgy knee or something. And it was always like, you know, something like, oh, it's raining today, I don't want to run. So I called the group Delicate Flowers because every time I heard those excuses, I said,
lame excuse.
It's a lame excuse. So with me, I don't care about the weather. In this country, you can't plan with the weather. So you've got to carry on with your activity. You shouldn't let the weather stop you. As long as it's safe to do that, you know, obviously on the towpath, for example, you do all your risk assessments. If it's great to carry on, you carry on with the activity. So, yeah, that's, you know, for running, we've run for charities. I've run for local charities like Suited for Success, which is a local charity close to my heart where I live. I've also run for Kidscape, you know, anti-child bullying charity. Run for charities, Muslim charity like Penny Appeal, and they did some great running in Coventry for the half marathon. And then we've run for national charity like Cancer Research UK, doing a London winter 10K run. But this year, the Birmingham Black Country Half Marathon is on the 2nd of July. And Canal and River Trust, obviously, the whole run takes place on the canals. So, you know, Canal and River Trust will be there in some form or another. And hopefully I can get some of my colleagues or people listening online, friends, to do that run. Sign up for it and run from Wolverhampton to Birmingham and come and explore the canals as well. And train with us as well. So if you want to get ready for that run, come and find me, come and find others that run, and let's practice on the canals.
Now, you were talking earlier on about the presentations that you do in the community. You did a presentation recently at the Al Farouk Mosque. What was that all about, and how was that received by the worshippers?
So, like I said earlier, to get into the communities, you have to attend meetings, you have to go and see the community where they're at. And if they're gathering at the masjid, then Masjid Al Farouk is in Warsaw. It's, you know, serves quite a big community, ethnic community there. And I had a link in through the masjid. So I presented the idea of, could I come in during the youth club time to present what Canal and River Trust do and maybe engage the youth and start with the youth. And then we can look at the senior citizens from the masjid and the parents groups, you know. So starting with a small cohort first. So I went in on a Saturday after the youth club, and I had attention of about 40 of the youth club members there, as well as the congregation. So, you know, people stayed after the prayer and listened to the presentation. And from what I could see, there was quite a lot of engagement. The children loved the idea of coming out and either doing litter picking with us, simple form of activity that gets them out on the canal, towpath, bending, walking. And they don't realize, if you say, I'll come for a walk, they're not that interested. But if you give them a litter picker and a hoop and say, go and collect 6 bags of rubbish, and the first one comes back, gets a prize, you know, they'll go out and they'll be running down the canals, and they, you know, they'll be bringing back lots of litter. So
it's so much better for them than sitting in front of phones and other screens and things, isn't it, really?
That's correct.
Taz, do you ever stop?
I've been told that I do need to slow down. You know, I'm always out. I love my job. I love being active, and I love being outdoors. So, you know, for me, that's my happy place. So I like being at my happy place. And every now and again, I do switch off. I put on a movie or I go to the cinema. I love watching movies. So that's my downtime. That's when I switch off and, you know, have a me time.
It is important to do that, isn't it? Definitely. Yes. How can we find out more then, Taz?
Well, Canal and River Trust have a website. It's www.canalrivertrust.org.uk. You can go on there and you can find out what we do, and especially on the activities and the volunteering side. We have just put an advert out for volunteers for the Commonwealth Games. So if you like to take part and help, you know, on your waterway, come and see us. Come and see what opportunities we've got. We've got a games operative role. We've got a games ranger role. We've got lockkeeper roles, you know, welcome station roles. Whatever, you know, you feel that you can give back, you know, have a look at the roles and see, you know, what you'd like to do, and do apply, because, you know, we need your help, like I said earlier.
Tahir Pavas from the Canal and River Trust, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive.
That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.